and sisters. I was a little hurt when I came this morning and members said that I was a guest speaker. Far from it, I'm not a guest here. This is my family, this is my church, but I'm sure glad to be back and to be sharing with all of you here this morning. And like Ken said, I'll be leaving in 2 weeks' time. And please remember me in your prayers, my wife and myself, as we go back to the field. Let us turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. I beg your pardon, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 11. Let us read from 7 to 11, a few short verses, and this is a passage that we are all very familiar with. It's about prayer, it's about asking, it's about seeking, it's about knocking. Verse 7 says, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Let us pray. Father, we just want to thank you for this wonderful morning, this new morning that we are able to come before you to worship you in this first day of the week. Father, very so often we take all this for granted. But Father, we know that we can't take things for granted because every minute, every second of life belongs to you. So God, for the fact that we are able to come this morning to worship you, to sing praises to you, Father, we thank you for this opportunity and this blessing and this privilege. And Father, we also thank you that we are able to open your word once again, that you might speak to us once again. Father, cleanse your unworthy vessel, that every word that proceeds from this mouth, Lord, are your words. So Father, be with us this morning. Open our hearts once again. We pray all this in Jesus Christ's most precious name. Amen. The topic that I've chosen this morning is prayer. It's about prayer. It's about asking, seeking, and knocking. It is a very well-known passage, and a lot of us cling on to this passage because this passage means a lot to those of us who continue to pray because we need something, we want something from God. And there seem to have been teaching or some teaching somewhere in our Christian walk that tells us that if we are persistent enough, then God will answer our prayers. God will give us the things that we desire because, like the passage says, He is the Heavenly Father. He wants to give good things to us. And if we, earthly fathers, know how to give good things to our children, more so our Heavenly Father. But unfortunately, this is not what the passage is about. I'm sure all of us will be slightly disappointed when you hear that. You know, it is not how persistent you are in your prayers. And because of our persistence, God will definitely give us what we want. Why do I say that? Because this passage has to be taken in context. And the context is really the chapter 7 verse 1 to all the way to verse 12. And a lot of times you will see these portions taken apart and preached on quite separately. But unfortunately, if you really look at the scriptures, you'll find that 7 and 11 is part of 7 verse 1 to verse 12. And what exactly is the context of this particular passage that we are talking about? You know, if you look at verse 1 to verse 5 particularly, you discover that it is talking about not judging, isn't it? Not judging people. It says, do not judge, because if you judge, you will be judged. It talks about us seeing the splint in other people's eyes and yet not removing the plank in our eyes first. And strangely, you'll find that verse 6 talks about casting pearls to swine, isn't it? And verse 12 in itself talks about, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets. If you look at the way your Bible has been structured, incidentally, the subheadings don't appear in the original Bible. All right, these are put in by men for ease of reference. But if you look at verse 7 and read verse 12 as well, you discover it's a bit strange. Why does it talk about doing to others what you want others to do to you? Because if you really are familiar with that passage, it relates back to verse 1 that talks about not judging, and verse 6 that talks about not casting pearls to swine. So what exactly is this passage talking about? Actually, this passage is talking about asking God for one specific thing. And God will not resist giving us that specific thing. Guys, that thing is wisdom. And how is it related to verse 1 to verse 6? Because we need God's wisdom not to judge. But more importantly, not only do we not judge, but on the other hand, we must also be discerning. We cannot be all accepting. There are times when we have to make a stand to say what is right and what is wrong. But you know something? In all this, we need God's wisdom. We need God's wisdom. This passage, if you look at it, it is no different from James chapter 1, verse 5, which says that if we lack wisdom, let him ask God, because God will be so happy, so willing to give us that wisdom. How many of us have problems subconsciously judging people? Do you have that problem? Am I the only culprit? I think all of us have that issue, isn't it? When we hear something about certain people, immediately we jump into conclusions. Immediately we judge that person. How is it that that person can bring up his child this way? He's a Christian. He's a Christian leader. Are we guilty of that? We are. How is it that this person who proclaimed himself to be a Christian, how is it that there are certain aspects of his life that is lived this way? We are very often very quick to judge people. Is it easy not to judge? Not really. On the one hand, the Bible tells us, do not judge. But on the other hand, in verse 6, it tells us, be discerning. You know, not judging doesn't mean that, oh, we accept everything in the world. Because the Bible says, you do not judge, but yet you have to be discerning. If it is wrong, if it is right, you have to put your foot down, you have to have a stand. So in between, what do we need? We need God's wisdom. You know, God is so pleased if in our prayers, what we are asking for is wisdom. You know, that is the reason why God has delighted in Solomon, isn't it? Before Solomon came onto the throne, God asked Solomon, what is it that you want from me? Ask and I'll give it to you. What did Solomon ask for? Solomon asked for wisdom. A lot of us actually stopped there, thinking that, oh, okay, Solomon was asking for wisdom. But if you read on, you'll discover that Solomon was asking for wisdom on how to judge Israel. Do you see that connection? It is in how we can more effectively judge people. And for Solomon, it was the nation of Israel. And that is the reason why God was so delighted. When he asked for wisdom to judge his people, God gave him everything else. But Guys, that is not the theology that I'm trying to give to you this morning. All right, it doesn't mean that it's the trick, okay? Ask for wisdom, you get everything else. But that is exactly what this passage is talking about. It talks about wisdom. You know, it talks about spiritual wisdom. It talks about if we keep on asking God, if we keep seeking Him, if we keep knocking at the door of God's heart, then God will be so willing to give us that wisdom. Guys, so what is prayer about? I'm sure some of us will go away disappointed. Oh, I thought that passage talks about being persistent, insistent, and God will give me the things that I desire. But unfortunately, that is not what prayer is about. So what exactly is prayer about? If it is getting things from God, then the answer is no. That is not the point about prayer. You know, prayer is essentially putting God back into the center of our lives. You know, that is the reason why when the disciples asked Jesus about prayer, Jesus taught them the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? You know, if you take a look at the Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, you'll realize how Jesus actually taught them about prayer. You know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, isn't it? That is the first part of it. What is the second part of it? Thy kingdom come. You know, when we pray, that is our focus. Our focus is not on ourselves, but our focus is on God. Our focus is on things of God. Our focus is on God's kingdom. And followed on from there, it says, thy will be done. Not our will, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Guys, that is the center of prayer. So whenever we pray, is it wanting things from God, wanting God to give us the things that we desire? No. It is about wanting once again to put God in the center of our lives. You know, very so often for a Christian, all of us, you know, go wayward, isn't it? How many of us have that problem? Oh, Pastor Ken was the first one to put up his hands. Can you imagine if Pastor Ken is the first to put up his hands, the rest of us, chances are worse off. Or yet we are still not quick enough to put up our hands. Let me try again. How many of us have a problem with waywardness? Still not very fast. Not very honest. But that is the problem with the Christian, because all we are is redeemed sinners, isn't it? Very so often we lose our focus. We lose the fact that we are slaves to righteousness. We lose the fact that Jesus is Lord. You know, we know this phrase. We talk about Jesus being Lord, 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 you know, but truly is He Lord? So therefore, in prayer, every time we open our mouths and come to God in prayer, remember, it is a time to refocus our lives. It's a time to put God back into the center of it all. You know, in prayer, when we say that we put God in the center, do you know what exactly we are saying here? We are saying that God is not only center in a very general sense, but God has to be the center of our thinking, the center of our feelings, the center of our planning. You know, when we make Him central, you will discover something magical. When you put God central in your life, you discover that all your prayers, all your desires will start to change. Everything will be aligned to what God really is. You know, that is exactly what it means by God being Lord, the Lord of our lives, and Jesus being our Lord. You know, no wonder in James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, the prayer of a righteous man avails much. You know, again, it's a very misquoted verse in the Bible. But who is that righteous man? The righteous man is the man who seeks first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. And because he makes God center in his life, because all his needs, all his desires are aligned with God, therefore, his prayers avails much. Amen? I mean, that is the meaning of this particular passage. Let me give everyone an order, okay? An order for prayers. First, as I said, we make him central, isn't it? You know, in our prayers, very often we say, "Thy will be done." That means that God is central. After that, then we can boldly ask. But like I said previously, you know, once you align yourself with God, his will, his kingdom, you discover that a lot of your desires, a lot of your prayer needs will start to change. Of course, nonetheless, you can still ask boldly for whatever you think, okay, is good for you. For example, asking for a life partner, is that important? Is that important? Is that important to God? Can you ask? Absolutely. For those of us who have been married for a long time, can we ask for children? Is that all right? Of course, ask for it. Can we ask for good health? Of course you can ask for good health. But you know what is the third thing about prayer? Because we start off by saying, "God, your will be done," the third point here would be accepting whatever the answer God gives. It can be a yes. A lot of time when it is a yes, when we get what we want, we praise God like crazy, isn't it? I mean, we sing God's praises, "Oh, what a wonderful God." But whenever the answer is a no, or we don't seem to hear anything from God, you rarely hear a praise God. But by praying that his will be done, that means that whatever the answer is, we accept with gladness. You know why even with gladness? Because God knows best. God knows what is best for us. Even when he doesn't heal us, even when he doesn't give us a life partner, he knows best. Difficult point to swallow for a lot of us. But if we truly believe that he knows best, then whatever the answer may be, we praise him. I'd like to deviate a little bit here on the subject of fasting. How many of us do fast in our Christian walk? Can I have a show of hands? Maybe not many, because New Zealand is too good a country. Food is too good, too plentiful. But for those of us who fast, I must share a little testimony here. You know, there are brothers and sisters who come to me and to Christina and ask us to continue to pray for them, you know, for a particular need that they have. And they will confess to us that they have even fasted. And they've fasted for 3 weeks. They've fasted for a month. And once is not enough, they fasted twice, three times. And they said, "But God still did not answer my prayers." But if our fasting is to twist God's arms, then we are never going to get anything out of that fasting. You know what fasting is all about? Fasting is for us to cut ourselves away from the usual things that we are involved in. I mean, another way of putting it is cutting ourselves away from the world and helping us refocus on God, on what it is that he wants for my life, on his sovereignty, on his will, on his kingdom. You know, fasting is to allow us to say, "God, not what I desire, but what exactly is it that you want in my life?" And in fasting, we are seriously telling God that we are definitely willing to submit to that decision of his. That is fasting. So for those of you who do not understand fasting and that you have fasted, the only thing good that will come out of it is that you have lost some weight. But other than that, nothing much is accomplished. So let me get back to it. Okay, what is thy will be done? It means firstly having God's way and not ours. Thy will be done. Secondly, accepting that God knows best. Regardless, no husband, no wives, no children, no healing, continued suffering. I accept that that is God's best for me in my life. But others will say, okay, I can accept that. But at least give me a reason, explain to me why. But you know something, if we ever ask God why, I'm not saying that we can't, but the very fact that we ask Him why very often reveals our hearts. A heart that is not willing to submit to God. A heart that is maybe even slightly rebellious. Because it's a contradiction in terms, if you need to have the king give you an explanation. Honestly, I do not know all the reasons why God says no, why He says wait. But generally, I can pick up two reasons which I want to share with us here this morning. The first is in Matthew 11, 28. Remember the passage that Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden. You know, I always would share with brothers and sisters and challenge them and ask them, when is it that you are closest to God? In good times? Or in bad? How many of us are closest to God in good times? How many of us are closest to God in bad times? Do you know we are never closer to God until we are in the depths of our problems? Amen? Whereby every moment, every song that you sing, every hymn that you sing, every passage of scripture that you open, every morning when you desire to go to Him, to open up His word and have Him speak to you, that is when you are in trouble. So I know one of the reasons why God continues to have us in that particular state, maybe, is to really draw us back to Him. The second reason, I'm giving you general reasons, is the fact that we need to be mature. We need to grow up. You know, that's why in James chapter 1, verse 2 to 8, it says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. Wow, what a powerful passage, isn't it? Why does God leave us there in all kinds of trials and problems? And why does James say, consider it pure joy? Because it is only in such a situation that we learn to mature and learn to grow up. Amen? How many of us grew up, you know, everything when everything was a bed of roses? Let me tell you this, that guy will not grow up very much. Why? Because he's still a kid. But we grow up only because we have stood the test of time. Only because we have stood firmly in trial, isn't it? I always love to give that example. You know, we are living in a very windy country, amen? Very, very windy. You know, ever so often we see trees falling. You know, in China, I see the way that the people plant trees. They always plant beautiful trees and wanting them to be straight. And very often what they do, they have tiebacks. They put either bamboo poles or concrete poles, you know, and tying that little tree to that pole. But they rarely take it down. And the problem with that is that when a tree grows up, the tree is actually not supporting itself with its own strength, but it is really with outside things. So because of that, if you're in China, if you ever visit China and you discover that there's a period of storm, you'll see a lot of trees falling. Why? Because the poles have not been removed, and because they have not been independent enough to withstand the trials of life. So one of the reasons why God wants us to be in that particular state, still suffering and still waiting, is because God wants us to mature with a bit of time left here this morning. I'd like to do a case study of the prayers of a righteous man. I love to go through this exercise because it is only then that we actually learn what exactly it means. Because what I've shared earlier with us is really a lot about theory and theology. But I'd like us to take a look at the prayers of a righteous man. And this person that I'm talking about is none other than Paul. I mean, to put this all into context, we must realize that, you know, Paul wrote various books to various churches, right? And not only that, but a lot of it is written whilst he was in prison. Written when he was confined, meaning to say that Paul wrote all these letters in tough times. And the prayers that I want to take a look at is from the book of Ephesians. If you have time, go and read other Paul's prayers because they're all very similar in that sense. And Paul here in Ephesians, please turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. I want to look at verse 16 to 19. You discover that here Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus. And Ephesus is one of the churches that is named prison epistles, meaning Paul was confined. But not only that, we must understand the context of the church of Ephesus. Why? Because during that particular time, churches do not function the way it is functioning now. The church was under persecution. The church has lots of problems. Why? Because there was lots of outside pressure. Christians were having all sorts of problems. They're losing their jobs because of their faith. They were losing their inheritance, their property because of their faith. They were persecuted. They were ostracized. And Acts chapter 8 reminded us that when they were persecuted, the people had to flee. But what was Paul's prayer for the church of Ephesus? Let us look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to 19. Here Paul says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power with all the saints to grasp how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Christ, and to know the love that surpasses all understanding, that you may be filled to his fullness. Brothers and sisters, take a look at the prayers in Ephesians. You never find Paul praying that the Ephesian Christians will be in good cheer. You never find Paul praying that they will be able to find jobs when they have lost it. You never find Paul praying that the Christians in Ephesus will be able to lead a better life. But instead, here you find a prayer for spiritual strengthening and transformation. Paul is saying that, I mean, in not praying for things, comfort, Paul is saying that you will be comforted if you are strengthened. Paul is saying here that you will be comforted if you are transformed. You know, a lot of times the reason why we are unhappy is because of external circumstances, isn't it? External factors. You know, unfortunately, very often we can't change external circumstances. But what you find we can change is our internal condition. So that is the reason why Paul has prayed that our spirit be strengthened and that we be transformed. You know, this world is tainted by sin, guys. You know, for all of us who come to church and feel that, oh, we will be blessed in the way that the world talks about blessing, then you'll be very disappointed. And that is the reason why I'm totally, totally opposed to prosperity theology. Because that is not what the Bible is about. When Jesus died on the cross and when Jesus said it is finished, he's not saying that my word to prosper you has finished. Prosperity theology teaches us that as a Christian, you know, you should never suffer. As a Christian, you should never be sick. If you're sick, your faith is not strong enough. It also teaches us that nobody, no Christian should be poor. No Christian should be suffering. Do you know the Middle East refugee situation, I'm telling you, not only Muslims are fleeing, but Christians are fleeing as well. Early church Christians have lost everything. The early church in China, the Christians have lost everything. How do you explain all that? Because Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. Anyone who tells you otherwise is pulling wool over your eyes. In this world you will have trouble, but Jesus said, but I've conquered this world. You know, there were two men in the church once who had very domineering wives. How many of us men are familiar with that problem? Don't raise your hands. They're domineering wives. But both these men react very differently. One of them was teetering on wanting to divorce his wife because it was so terrible. You know, he was suffering from stomach ulcers. He came to tell his pastor, "Pastor, can you help change my wife for me?" But the other brother, let me tell you this, strong wife as well. But he seemed to be at peace and seemed to be joyful. And the pastor one day was asking him, he said, what is the issue? I mean, how did you manage it? You know what he said to the pastor? He says, yeah, I know she's got these problems, but I do have my problems as well. And if she can accept my problems, I better accept her problems. Because Jesus has accepted all our problems. And that is to do with an internal transformation, isn't it, brothers and sisters? That is why Paul prayed for spiritual strengthening and transformation. The second prayer, Ephesians chapter 1, 17 to 19. Ephesians 1, 17 to 19, it says, I keep asking that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know the hope which you are called and the riches of his glorious inheritance and the incomparable great power for us who believe. You know, I'd like to emphasize a few words. Paul's prayer here is for enlightenment, so that we know the hope that we are called. Paul here talks about the hope, and Paul here talks about the riches of our glorious inheritance. A lot of times we are unhappy because we have our eyes fixed on ourselves, isn't it? Our eyes never leave our problems, our eyes never leave our physical condition, our sickness, our eyes are always on ourselves, our eyes are always on the ground. But Paul's prayer here for the Ephesians is that we may be enlightened. Enlightened. You know, Paul's prayers are for the church of Ephesus, and Paul's prayers also for us Christians today. Are we enlightened? Have we turned our eyes upon Jesus? There was this story that talks about a toddler having his toy car smashed. And he was crying and crying and crying and crying, and whatever his father or his mother came to comfort him, he was still crying, 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 crying. He says, I want my car, I want my car, I want my car. But you know who his father was? His father was Bill Gates. How many toy cars, if not Ferraris, can Bill Gates buy for his son? But you know what the problem is? The problem is that he only had his eyes focused on his own problem. You know, we may laugh about it, but you know, very often we are the same as that little boy. We forget who our Father is. We forget the glorious inheritance that we have in Him. The third prayer, very quickly. The third prayer is taken from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20. For once we see prayer, Paul asking for prayers for himself and praying for himself. Wow, I thought, wow, what a revelation. Very, very rarely do you see Paul praying for himself or asking for prayers for himself. In prayers, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20, it says, pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Guys, you know that when I saw this prayer many, many years ago, I was so taken in by Paul. Paul never prayed for his own circumstances. Paul never prayed that he'll be released from confinement. But Paul prayed that whenever he opened his mouth, he'll be able to declare the gospel fearlessly. You know, I'm shamed by these prayers. When I look at my own prayers, whenever I open my mouth, very, very quickly, after the third or fourth sentence, I gravitate to, God, please give me or solve this problem, isn't it? My problem. How often do we gravitate towards God's kingdom, God's righteousness, God's will? I don't know what our problems are in the world today. All of us have problems. All of us have issues. I like the Chinese saying that goes like this, 家家有本难念的经. Those of you who know Chinese will know what I mean. All of us have our own problems. We all look very good on Sunday, but truly we all have problems. But today in our prayers, are we focusing on these problems or are we putting God back into the center of our lives? The reason why I have thought of this particular message to share with us is because the year is really, time is running so quickly. We are already into February. Before we know it, the year is up. Another year is gone. But is our prayer life what God wants it to be? Are we focusing on God, His will, His kingdom, or are we focusing on ourselves? Please bow our heads for a moment. Please spend a minute or two reflecting on ourselves, how our prayer lives have been, and where is it that we have gone wrong? Maybe it is time in our lives that we must put God back into the center of our lives again.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Casey. What a powerful message. I invite you to stand with your head bowed, eyes closed, to respond to the words that we have heard this morning. I invite you to pray. If you would like to come at this invitation and have some time at the altar before the Lord, please do so. You are invited. And may your prayer be, Lord, I want your will to be done. I want your best in my life. Father, not my will, but yours be done. And whatever things that you are facing, whatever things that you are experiencing, the trials in your life, we all go through trials. We all go through trials. But may your prayer be like we just finished with Paul. Lord, in this, may I be quick to speak of you. May I be quick to share Christ, no matter what. Brothers, sisters, I'll give us a few moments to pray these prayers to the Lord, to cry out to him, and I'll lead us in just a moment. If you want to come, if there's any others, please come. But be in prayer. Be in prayer. Father, Lord, I thank you for these words that we have had this morning. Thank you for using our brother Casey to challenge us with these words. And Lord, may we, your people, live with the knowledge that you are God, you are sovereign. And yes, you want us to come to you in prayer. But Lord, may our prayers be less about us and more about you. More about wanting your good and perfect will done. Lord, I pray that it would change our thinking. May we, Lord, live for you and look for your work in our lives as we go through this week. May we be willing, Father, to align ourselves up with your plan and your will, your desires. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please take a seat. Brother Casey, thank you so much for that word from the Lord. I appreciate it very much, and I know many do. We have a few announcements before we leave, so Pastor Mike, thank you.
All right, well, if you have your bulletins, let's just look on the inside pages. Just a few things that we'd like to share with you and mention before we go. First of all, we mentioned this last week about the Baptist Training College. There's still time for you to register and enroll. We had the first session on Tuesday and then again on Thursday. But maybe one of these classes, maybe you failed to register or get into that. You can still do that. See Pastor John for the details on the classes that are available, and you can see right on the side of the bulletin the cost and the times. Also, we have tonight starting the Overcomers Support Group. That'll be at 5 o'clock, from 5 o'clock to 7. We have some brochures that are in the back on the information desk. So if you're able to be a part of that, or if you are looking for a ministry to be involved in, this is something that we are always needing people to be there to not only receive, but to be able to give back. And one of the items that I'm specifically looking for is someone who could help out with some music in that. I'm not necessarily asking someone from our music team because they're quite busy with all the things that they have going on, but perhaps someone in the congregation that has the ability to come and help lead through some of the music, then that's something that we would like to have as well. There's a family day picnic that IBC Central is putting on for tomorrow. That's from 9 o'clock until 1 o'clock at Eastern Beach. So if you're interested in coming along to the picnic, then 9 o'clock until 1 o'clock at Eastern Beach. IBC Central is putting that picnic on. And they just invited us later in the week, so I know, or later this week, so I know many people have plans and things already going on. But if you had nothing happening tomorrow, then this is something that you may want to be involved in. Also, our IBC Ladies Ministry, we have the Ladies Tea coming up on Saturday the 13th. This is from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock. And during this Ladies Tea time is when we will have the special ministry from Mercy Hope and Carolyn Curry. They will be ministering to the ladies through song, through testimony, and through ballet dance. And we've been able to see a little bit of that and what they've been doing. They went out to the prison ministry last week and a wonderful ministry of telling the story of the cross through song, dance, and testimony. So ladies, if you can be a part of that. Also, we have the sign-up sheets in the back for this, only because we need to know the numbers of people who may be able to attend and the amount of food and things, snacks to be prepared for. And you're also invited to bring friends along to this event as well. Next Sunday morning, we'll be having some baptisms. So for those of you who are to be baptized, Pastor Ken has either already met with you or will be meeting with you. And then if there's anyone here who has trusted the Lord recently and you've been thinking about this step of baptism, come and see Pastor Ken right after the message this morning or after the Sunday school time. And he will be able to share with you a little bit of detail that's going on about the baptism. Also next week, Chinese New Year, so we'll be having some special things happening for Chinese New Year's decorations, some special songs, and all of the focus in the ministry. Of course, Jesus Christ is always our focus of the ministry, but it'll be on this special time of Chinese New Year. Also, the next week after that, the new members class on the 21st of February. So if you've been a part of International Baptist Church for some time, but you haven't become a member of the church and you would like to, then we have these classes starting on the 21st of February. That's during the 10 o'clock Sunday school hour, and it'll be for 5 weeks. Prayer journals are here for those ladies or those who had ordered the prayer journals. You can see Pastor Ken's wife, Jennifer, for that. So they're here now, and she'll give those to you and the price and the cost and everything that goes along with it. As we mentioned at the beginning of the service, just prayer and thanksgiving for Pastor Chad and Sally, and congratulations to you on the new baby, as well as Jonathan and Pearly. So congratulations to them. I think that's all of the announcements that we need to share this week, other than to remind you to continue to pray for our missionaries, especially Robert and Ruth Thompson, our missionaries that we support overseas. So continue to pray for them, and then many of our other missionaries whose letters we put in the back, so you can be sure to read those. Before we're dismissed, is there anyone celebrating this week a birthday or perhaps a wedding anniversary? Let's start with birthdays. Anyone this week celebrating a birthday from today through Saturday? Or perhaps you were here last or weren't here last week and we missed your birthday. Anyone celebrating a birthday this week? Just stand on up and come on up here to the front because we have a little special gift for you in the way of chocolate. Come on up. Here comes Josh and over on this side as well. Anyone else celebrating a birthday? How about wedding anniversaries? Anyone celebrating a wedding anniversary this week? Any wedding anniversaries? No? Let's all stand together. We're going to sing Happy Birthday, and then we'll be dismissed. Sunday school will be at 10 o'clock. Let's sing.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. You to stay for our 10 o'clock session, our Bible study and Sunday school time. I've asked Brother Casey to share with us a bit on the ministry work that he's doing and also allow a little bit of question and answer kind of time. So if you have some questions about what's going on or what the work is like, this would be a great opportunity for you to come. So that'll begin soon. So let's have some fellowship and get a drink and be back in here. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word to us today. And may we, Lord, leave this place with these words still in our hearts and our ears. And Lord, may we have a greater desire for prayer, but also a greater understanding of prayer and why we pray. Thank you for Brother Casey's words to us. We pray that you would bless him, Christina, and the ministry that you've called them to as they leave again soon for that. Watch over them, we pray. Dismiss us now with your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.